Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
One that helps us understand what are we seeing when it comes to shifts in generational debt trends among South African women. Bear in mind, it is Women's Month, and this does afford us the opportunity just to evaluate what it is that we're seeing when it comes to the management of our debt specifically. This is a study that's been conducted by One Life Insurance, and to help us unpack the data is Hayley Perry, who is a money coach and facilitator at One Life's Truth About Money. Hayley, such a pleasure to have you back on the show, and good evening.
Thanks for having me, Gugu.
Fantastic. I think this is quite intriguing. This is an interesting study that actually takes a look at the level of indebtedness first, but nuance towards women and what the intergenerational trends are. Help us contextualize how this research was conducted and why this key focus on how women in particular are managing debt.
Well, I think it's got to do with financial autonomy. And when it comes to, you know, being the boss of your money, there's nothing that takes the fun out of it than seeing as your salary comes in, seeing a whole lot of repayments go off to credit providers. And I think particularly in this context, what was interesting was a survey was conducted where more than 75% of the respondents were female. And so it's given us an insight into how women are thinking about how debt affects them in their management of the household, and then perhaps, you know, the softest things as well. So how does that affect the stress levels in your household, and how does that impact your ability to be a good mom and daughter and parent and sister and friend and all of those good things? And so that's why it's really interesting to see this data coming through where women are saying, we are actively working towards paying down our debt because we want to have financial autonomy. We want to reduce the financial stress in our household.
And this is important because we are seeing that more women are receiving opportunities to be economically active. In other words, be employed or create their own revenue stream. So it does seem as though there's a heightened level of financial awareness amongst women. Would that be correct?
Yeah, look, I mean, 33% of the respondents indicated that they are primary earners in their family. So not only are they heading the household, but, you know, the financial stability of the household is their responsibility entirely on their own. And I think, you know, this talks to women wanting to take control because it's not just about, you know, often we talk about things like financial independence, but I think there's a first step on that journey. And particularly for women who are heading up households on their own, what they've realized is that the first step towards that is actually financial security. And one of the ways you do that is by keeping your debt low so that you can reduce stress, and then you've got cash flow to do what is needed in your home.
It's typically said that women are very risk averse, right? And even when it comes on to taking on risk, like extending, getting credit extended to you, taking on debt, that we're quite disciplined in paying it off. So what does the numbers what do the numbers reveal around this particular theme?
So one of the things that was really interesting around this is that, you know, when we're talking about being risk averse, you're talking about protecting your downside, right? And when that comes to money, what that often means is putting in place savings. And in particular, what we always like to talk about or teach is the importance of having an emergency fund. But what also came through in the survey is also the importance of having life cover, because that's a different form of protecting your risk. And so, you know, even when you've got a situation where in South Africa there has been a decrease in policyholders who've been able to maintain their policy since COVID. So the stats are showing us at least 50% of policyholders have been able to keep their policies since COVID, you know, as financial pressure has increased. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that in the survey, 89% of women believe that life cover is a critical part of their wealth-building tool kit, as it were. and 62% say that they've got life insurance in place. And I think that talks to what you're talking about, managing the downside, that risk aversion, and making sure that your kids or your dependents are protected financially if you're no longer around is obviously the ultimate gift in that respect. And I think the fact that women are prioritizing ensuring the payment of these policies, you know, speaks directly to that.
And I'm assuming this speaks typically to what we do see in terms of society, where women are not only caregivers within their own households or for their children having a spouse, but even just in terms of their families overall, whether it's looking after nieces, nephews, parents, family at large. Does this, I guess, reflect the societal standing and sentiment, I guess, that we see?
Absolutely. And what we like to talk about from a financial education perspective is how do you do that in a way where you recognize the privilege that you have in order to care for these people, but also ensure that it doesn't bring you down on a personal level, you know, that you don't go into debt, for instance, in order to caregive for all these people who need you. And there's a nuance there and there's a sensitivity required, but we know that it can be done. And one of the first stepping stones on that journey is getting yourself a financial education so that you can learn how to do it in a way that is financially responsible whilst still remaining sensitive to these caregiving roles that you may need in your life.
Very true. And this, I guess, does come with a bit positive spin, essentially that women are not bequeathing debt to their younger members of the generation in their families, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, debt is tough enough to manage on your own. It's really hard when you pass that on to the next generation. And I think if we can have women take anything out of Women's Month and this passion that we have in particular around financial behavioral change and financial education, it's not only that we don't want to pass on generational debt, it's that what we do want to pass on is financial knowledge, financial skills, financial confidence. And that comes with getting yourself a financial education. You know, there are a lot of free resources out there. This is not something that's common in households or schools or workplaces. And so this is the ultimate DIY job, getting yourself a financial education so that you can learn what it is that you can and should be doing with your own money. And then ultimately, as you say, thinking about the next generation and how we teach them to do things better and differently to perhaps what we were taught or not taught as we were growing up.
What I'm also keen to understand is there's an expectation, right, that the tide is shifting. When it comes to the macroeconomic space, interest rates might go down, heightened optimism that the likelihood is present in September and November. That could actually speed, you know, build up a level of consumption spending and maybe even reduce the debt burden that South Africans feel. I know you're not an economist, but I'm assuming that you can just share your thoughts as to what kind of impact this could have on consumer debt, consumer sentiment, especially as we head to the latter part of the year.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, every time we've been on air, literally for the last 5 years, we've had to talk about tightening your belt because if there's not another interest rate increase coming, it's holding steady and it's already up 4.75% higher than it was in September 2021, right? And so if this changing macroeconomic environment you know, sentiment is correct and interest rates may be reduced, I think what it does for consumers is it gives us a little bit of breathing room. Now, the challenge that we face is when, you know, if interest rates are cut, it means that our debt repayments will reduce. What we need to do then is be responsible with that difference in spending. You know, so if you've got an extra whatever it is in your bank account because you're not paying as much towards servicing your debt, this is the ideal time to start putting money away, if not in your emergency fund, then as you say, towards December and January, because we know historically those are always very intense months financially when we're talking about the festive season. And then the kind of the new year that starts with school uniforms and stationery and all those things. So having the discipline to put aside any money that, you know, may be coming your way that you hadn't expected had there not been an interest rate cut would be my number one top tip, if at all possible.
100%. So important that we do remember that, as you say, you know, being mindful of the part of the year that we're going into and still exercising that level of discipline. As we know, Hayley, we are, I guess, looking at this report from a woman's point of view or trends regarding women specifically, but we don't live in isolation. We have brothers, fathers, partners, sons, friends who are male counterparts and truly our allies actually at doing life and vice versa. And I think this is also imperative just to understand if there are financial behaviors that men can also model that woman can learn from or vice versa.
Look, I'm a big believer in teamwork makes the dream work. There's a lot of statistics that show that if you want to be wealthy, you need to be married to the same partner and you need to be on the same page financially. Like, you need to have the same financial goals. And so I absolutely agree with you. This is not something that we need to just, you know, have only the woman's perspective. If you can bring the men in your life into this journey as you grow your financial knowledge and your skills and your confidence, it means that, you know, the rising tide will lift all boats. And that is, you know, the ultimate objective, because it's always going to be harder if you're the only person wanting to change things up in your household or reduce some spending or put away more money for your saving and investments, as an example. So, yeah. Absolutely. If you can bring the guys along for a ride, I'd highly recommend that.
100%. Very, very important. Hayley, such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am.
Thanks for having me, Gugu. It's a pleasure as always.
Fantastic. Do take care. That's Hayley Perry, money coach and facilitator at One Life's Truth About Money, helping us understand how a recent survey conducted by One Life does reveal that women typically don't pass on debt to their children. How do they do that? Essentially, having the necessary life insurance and debt cover to pay off any debts that they might have when they pass away. And typically, life insurance would essentially take care of this, thus leaving their children in a better position, not inheriting that debt. So, you see, when we talk about long-term insurance, there's a proper need for it and very relevant in our livelihoods and within our lifestyles. I want to share an interesting tweet with you that's come through from one of our listeners. We were commenting about the potato prices, right? Increasing quite sharply and seeing increases of well above 120 rand per 10 kgs. And you might have heard Skumbuzo earlier commenting on the price of ikota. And Raymond Monti Mabue comments in the same manner. He says, "Yo, Gugu, no kota is going to start at 50 rand." You're right. Things are going to be expensive. Like I say, whether it's a baked potato, a fried potato, a potato chip, mashed potato, ultimately we will see an increase in potatoes as well as goods and products that typically have potatoes in them as an ingredient. So anticipate a price increase there. It is coming.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.